All right, we're going to go ahead and start our board meeting today. Thank you so much for being here on this beautiful June afternoon. It is 5 o'clock, even though the clock reads past 5 o'clock. Today is June 12th. We are in the Board of Education building of the Logan City School District. And those present are all 5 board members, as well as our superintendent, Frank Schofield, our business administrator, Jeff Barbin, as well as our board secretary, Stacey Hunter. And today we have staff and patrons here today with us, and we're grateful, and we welcome you all today. Earlier, we met as a group to go to school visits for getting ideas with our new architects for the rebuild of Hillcrest. And I appreciate all of your time and efforts. We went with staff members from Hillcrest, as well as the board and the principal. It was a great opportunity to be able to interact with our architects and to get ideas from our teachers and to interact with them so that we can certainly come up with a wonderful plan for Hillcrest. And now we're in our regular meeting. We'll go ahead and start with our opening ceremony. And we, Lisa, will you lead us in this opening ceremony, please? And Lisa will lead us in our opening ceremony, followed by our public comment.
Stand for the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Lisa. Do we have any public comment tonight, Stacey? All right, we'll go into our consent calendar. I would need a motion on that, please, which is action on minutes dated May 15th and May 23rd of 2018, extra pay for extra services for licensed personnel and school land trust amendments.
I would move adoption of the consent calendar.
Motion's been made by Ann. Do I have a second? Second by Jenny. Do we have any questions or comments about the consent calendar? All right, seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right. Consent calendar passes. On to our first action item, which is action on amended business administrator and superintendent contracts. In your board packet, you'll see those proposals, which mirror exactly what we are giving our employees as their compensation package this year. So we feel it's appropriate that the business administrator and superintendent stay in accordance with what we've done with our other associations. Do I have a motion on that since it's an action item?
I'll make a motion that we approve the amended contract for the superintendent and business administrator contract.
Okay, motion's been made by Lisa. Do I have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Frank. Do I have any questions or comments about those contracts? All right, seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right, seeing none, that passes. I'm always grateful. I know that in the past we have had a situation where we have let those lag a little, so we are grateful to be able to compensate our superintendent and our business administrator according to what we've done with our other employees and to make sure that they're in line with that. And we do appreciate what you do. Once again, we've talked about your board. We talked yesterday about your goals for the year, and we're excited to see where the road takes us this year and the great things that are going to happen. And once again, we just appreciate what you do and express our appreciation to your families as well. Board members, have any comments about that today? All right. On to discussion items, which is the review of the FY18 final budget and the FY18-19 budget, but it's FY19 original budget. Our business administrator, Jeff Barbin.
Okay. Can we try to project this on the screen?
If we could.
That might be nice.
Helpful. Unless you have handouts for everybody.
What's that?
Unless you have handouts for everybody.
I know. I could make some copies.
But let's just put it up there if we can.
Yeah. Just got like Dow Small. Yeah, I just like flip the switch on every single one of them.
Yeah, that's good.
We can let the glow
now, now
back
what,
there.
Now Larry's glowing.
Yes, you are.
I like that feature of one of the schools we went to where the light didn't automatically go on when you went in the room. Did you notice that? That was one of the features that they built at that last school we went to, that the light didn't automatically go on when you went in the room, so that you could, like, be in the room without having the light off.
Then it goes off when you leave.
And then you go on, it goes off. And then I thought it was cool. I guess that's one of those ways that.
I'm not sure why this one's out there.
That
can be. Okay.
I guess that's
one of those. Should we try the other one? It'd be hard for me to see that here. Okay.
So maybe we could print some.
Do you have those copies I gave you?
Yeah, right there. I'll
just make some copies. So this is the tentative budget for this meeting. Just wanted to review that. We will go over this in the budget hearing next Tuesday on the 19th. And again, as we've talked about in the past, can each of you have that on your screens? Have you got copies? Okay. So in the past, we've discussed how this budgeting process works for school districts, and we're really projecting from projections. So we're trying to base the projections for this year, and we haven't completed the year, so we're not sure what those are. These are just projections, and then we're also basing our original 2019 budget projections off of projections for this year. And so there's not really any firm ground. We're kind of, you know, trying to predict things that are movable, and we haven't got the final budget yet. Next year, there's a chance we might be able to do that. The legislature, the budget has always been due and have to be passed by June 22nd, but last year in the legislature they moved that to June 30th. So there's a chance we still wouldn't be able to probably have all of the like supplies and all of those budgets in yet, but we would be able to run the final payrolls and have all of that information. So that would give us our projections would be much more accurate if we end up being able to do that next year. But that would mean we'd have to move this meeting back to over the 27th or 28th, so we'd have time to run those and then still get the... But for now, what we're looking at here, as we've gone through, you've got the actual 2017. So that is that's the numbers that the auditors have certified as our actual expenditures and revenue from 2017. And so last year at this time, we created an original budget for 2018. And then just in the last week, I've finalized our final budget. So we've gone through the numbers and projected where we think we're going to end up at the end of the year. And so you can see that from last year, our local revenue went up a little bit. Our state revenue's gone down a little bit. And the reason for that is because we've had lower student enrollment than we did the year before. And so even though we had increases in the WPU and some other things, that was offset by the lower number of students. And then federal, federal's reimbursement. So, you know, that adjusts from year to year, but it's based on what we spend on federal programs. And then we just request reimbursement after we spend the funds for federal revenue. So our total revenues for the final budget for 2018, we're projecting at just over $46 million. Our salaries have gone up a little bit this year, and our benefits have gone up a little bit this year from last year. Purchase property services, other purchase services are about the same. Supplies we're projecting have gone up a little bit. We've spent a little bit more, and that depends on a lot of factors. The way that we budget for the schools is we give them funds to buy supplies and different things, and so within those budgets they will build up carryovers. We allow them to carry over, but if they overspend one year, we subtract that, and so that's the way that works. And so a lot of times they'll save up for copiers and different things, and so those supply budgets will change a little bit. And it's also influenced by, you know, sometimes we get additional grants, and so we spend more money for supplies for those grants because we've received additional grants. And so that fluctuates a little bit. We're projecting that to be about $2.6 million. Our property, $700,000, is down a little bit, which is equipment. And then other objects is up just slightly. So we're projecting that our total expenditures are going to be $44,302,000. That leaves us with an excess of revenue over expenditures of $1.759 million. And then other financing sources and uses. The schools will pay us money and we'll give them money, and that's offset. So that's really an offset. Last year it was $80,000. We typically project that at the beginning of the year to be $50,000. We projected that at $80,000 this year just because that's what it was for last year. And so our net change in fund balance is $1.678 million is what we're projecting. And last year you can see that was $3.6 million. Of that, as you all know, about $2.7 million of that went into the undesignated fund balance. And so that was what really has allowed us to do a lot of the things that we were able to do in negotiations this year, was having that additional fund balance. So this one, we're projecting it's not going to be as high as it was last year, but it is good that we are going to have some net change in fund balance. So that's a very positive thing. So that would bring our ending fund balance from $12.8 million to about $14.5 million. And so in the original budget for next year, now some of these will probably change by next week slightly. I'm going to go in and review those again. We haven't gotten the final transportation bill from Cash, and so they're getting us those estimates so we can see if we're close on that. And there's some other things that haven't come in yet that if I can estimate a little bit closer, I will do that, and I'll bring those to your attention in the budget hearing next year or next week. Any changes that we have?
If they can be colored differently. If they could be colored differently.
Oh, really?
About, you know, if the change is
okay.
From this week to next week, if you can, I don't care if you highlight them
okay.
In yellow or whatever, it's just
okay.
Easier to find those changes.
Okay.
As I look at this, if, like we do when we right. Underline or strike
okay.
Through something,
all right.
It would make it faster to comprehend.
Okay, all right. I can do that.
So, I make it just put them in red so they'd be the same color column.
I don't like red on budget, so do it in some other color but red.
Fold them.
Blue's fine, not red. I don't like red on budget.
What would you prefer? Would you want me to fold those?
That change.
Fold's fine.
Fold the ones that change or something.
All right. I can do that. So for our original budget for 19, we're projecting more revenue. Now, I did just recently get some information from the state that lowered those revenues for this year, and so I'm probably going to go in and relook at those and probably lower the revenue from the state, because it will most likely impact our revenue for next year as well. So you'll probably see a change in that next week. But the total revenues right now that we're projecting is $48 million. And then you can see that salaries, we projected that it's going up and the benefits going up. And, you know, as we've gone down, the rest of them are pretty close to what they were this year. So we're projecting a $47 million total expenditures. That would leave us with $623 in excess of revenues over...
$623,000.
And then, you know, with the other financing sources, that would end up would be about $573,000. So that's the General Maintenance and Operations Fund, Fund 10. And that's the one that we pay all the salaries and benefits and basically to run and operate the schools. So the next one, if we go to Student Services, that's Fund 20, Summary 21. We talked about this a little bit in our board retreat yesterday. We're trying to get campus accounting so that everybody's using the same program. When we get that, we'll be able to make much better projections. And so I called Jen and some of the secretaries to find out about where they think they're going to be, and so I make those projections based on that. But this page will be a lot easier and a lot closer. Our projections will be once we are able to get campus accounting in place. But this just shows what the revenues that the schools generate, you know, with fees and everything that they charge, and then what their expenses are. So the next page is the summary 26 tax increment financing fund. And interrupt me if you have questions. On this one, I've just put last year's, so this I'm pretty certain will change by next week. And the reason I haven't updated it yet is because they haven't set the tax rates for the charter schools yet, and so we don't know exactly what those will be. And they haven't set the basic rate or the basic levy rate that the state sets. And so I can't determine what those tax increments will be until I have all of the tax rates in. And since they don't have all the tax rates in, but they're supposed to have those this week, so I should have that information for you next week. Other than sometimes, I think last year, a lot of years, they don't have the basic levy rate set yet, and so we go into that, you know, and you guys vote on what we do with taxes and kind of base it on whatever that change is going to be. But hopefully, they're talking like they may be able to have that for us next week. So hopefully all of the tax rates will be in place for our budget hearing next week. And so I will make those changes once I get that information. Summary 31, the next page is the debt service fund. And that is debt service funds are solely used to generate funds and to pay funds for general obligation bonds, GO bonds. So those are the bonds that we've issued that you have to go and have an election. We've had our election. So these are the funds that we need to generate to pay off the bonds that we have right now. So the final budget of 2018, so last year you can see in the actual 2017 that the net change in fund balance was $337,000. So we levied taxes in order to generate enough funds to pay our debt service, and we ended up with $337,000 more than we levied. And that was lowering, I mean, we lowered the rate once from when it was set, and so we decided to lower that, and so we lowered that quite a bit because we got a fund balance of $1.59 million. That we really want to bring down. And so it worked this year. I mean, it's bringing it down slightly, about $116,000. We brought that balance down. Because the only way that you can bring that balance down is either to lower the tax rate or to pay off the debt service. And so that balance is a little bit excessive for what we need, and so we're trying to lower that. And so we're also showing that next year, and in the original budget of 2019, that will depend on what tax rates you set as a board, how that changes. Right now I've just estimated that it would lower it another 100,000, get us down to 1.35 million at the end of next year. And so, but we'll have some discussion about that when we get into the tax rates and setting the tax rates, what we want to do with that. Any questions about the debt service fund? Okay, summary 32 is the capital fund. And so that's what we, you know, do all of our building maintenance, repairs, things like that. This is what we paid for the Logan High remodel and some of those issues, and we'll be paying Hillcrest. So when we issue the bonds, that's done in the debt service fund, but the actual payment for the work done on the schools comes through the capital fund. So you can see that our total expenditures last year and actual 2017 in the Y column were $21 million. That's because we were paying off the high school. This year in the final budget, we've got those at about $11 million because we didn't have to pay as much this year as we did last year. And so we're showing that, I'm showing that the total fund balance, the ending fund balance on the purple column for 2018 is going to be about $6 million, which is really good news. That's going to give us some additional funds as we go into Hillcrest. We know that that budget's going to be tight because of the increased costs of building, and so that gives us a little bit to be able to help cover those costs. So we've got $13 million that we can issue for a bond that the public has allowed us to issue for a bond, so we'll issue that for the Hillcrest rebuild, but that gives us a little bit that we can put into that as well if we need to. And so that's good news, but as we get into that, in the blue column, original budget 2019, you see that I'm projecting that going down to about $4.5 million because we're going to start putting funds into Hillcrest and Ellison, or Hillcrest. And so, anyway, that will draw that down a little bit.
Before we issue the GO bond.
Right, before we issue the bond. And so, then we'll issue the bond. We plan to issue the bond in April or May of next year, in 2019, we'll issue that bond. And so those bond proceeds will show up in 2020, and that's when we'll start to spend the bond proceeds, is in 2020, or FY 2020. Okay, the next one is the summary 49. That's a food service fund, and this is Paul Guyman's budget, our food service director. And so as he and I went through this, the state dings you. If you go over by $1 over the budget that you projected, you get dinged. And so we don't like to get dinged, and so we usually estimate a little bit higher, make sure that there's enough of a cushion that we're not going to go over budget. And so he's estimated these a little bit high. So typically, it ends up so he's showing a loss of revenue of $281,000, but he has a fund balance of over $1 million. So he's built up this fund balance. He did spend about $315,000 last year for the kitchen and the parts that he was able to pay for from the food service budget for the Logan High remodel. And then he spent another $160,000 this year, and that's on like the lunch tables and some of the refrigerators and other things that he was able to purchase. And so, anyway, that fund will probably show a small loss like it did last year, but not as large as he has projected. Any questions about any of those funds? Okay, the next page is just a summary of all of those funds. So it's taken all the funds from 18. And put them on one spreadsheet so that you can see the impact of what that is. So in FY18, you'll see that, and then it has a column for the M&O Fund 10, and it has percentages next to that. So that shows the percentage of our revenue for M&O is 32% from local, 57% from state, and 10% from federal. It also shows our expenditures. So 56% for salaries and 26% for employee benefits. So salaries and benefits, so for our employees, that's our largest expense, and it's about 82% of the M&O fund front-end budget. And so that shows the rest of the percentages. It shows the fund balances. And then at the end, it has a summary of all the funds. And so as you go down that, you'll see of all of our funds, we get 46% from local, 43% from state, and 11% from federal. And that's because we get a lot of food service funds in federal, so that bumps that up a little bit. And then, you know, in the student activity fund, the transportation or the tax increment fund, the debt service fund, the capital outlay fund, and some of our food service is out of local. And so you'll see also the salaries and benefits now drops to 39% and 18% because you don't pay salaries and benefits out of those other funds other than
lunch ladies.
Lunch and so anyway. FY19, it's the same thing. It's just a summary of all the other funds that we've gone through. It shows you what those balances are, and so it looks like that our salaries and benefits as a percentage has gone up 1%, so it's 83% instead of 82% for is what we projected for 2019. Okay. Any questions then at all about the budgets and what we're looking at there? Okay, so the last sheet is the proposed tax rate worksheet. And so this is for tax year 2018, but for our fiscal year 2019. The top of that sheet, we take last year's budget or tax rate sheet just so you can have that for tax purposes. The second part of that is what we're proposing for FY19. And so what this shows is the basic school levy is it they leave it at what it was last year on the certified tax rate. So last year it was 0.001568. And the voted local levy. So last year our tax rate was 0.0016. And basically what they do is they go in and they look at the assessed valuation. So you can see in the prior year valuation, so there's that little blue line right there that says proposed tax rate valuation. You see that in the middle of the page? So that blue line is the proposed, is what they proposed the assessed valuation will be for tax year 2018 or our fiscal year 2019. And so you can see the prior year valuation was $2.2 million, and that's gone from $2.2 million to $2.6 million. If you go up above to the other blue line, you can see that that went, last year it went from $2 million to $2.2 million. This year it went from the $2.2 million to $2.6 million, which is a pretty good increase in the assessed valuation. You can see the percent change is 19.52%. Last year it was only 9.71%. And so it's a big increase. And so that also means that there's, how do I put this?
That's scary.
There's additional revenue that we would lose if we went with the certified tax rate. So when they set the certified tax rate, they basically look at what the rate would be to generate the exact same amount of income as we generated last year.
Right.
And so, but the reason that typically the reason that you have a truth in taxation hearing is so that you capture the inflation that everybody else is capturing, I guess, so to speak. Because otherwise, as inflation goes up, if you're not capturing that money for inflation, then you're falling behind. And so the state allows us to bring those back to the rate, the tax, last year's tax rates. So we can set those rates, but we have to have a truth in taxation hearing in order to do that. So the certified tax rate for the voted local levy is 0.001479. I'm proposing that in the green column in the middle is what I'm proposing is a tax rate of 0.0016. And because that's the level of 0.0016 is what we need to hit in order to get some of the funds, the stabilization funds and the Osmondville funds and some of those. Now, last year, so the voted our board local levy has always been 0.0025. But last year, they split the tax out, and they pay for charter schools now with part of that board local levy tax. So if you can see at the bottom there in the white column, the actual tax rate, it was 0.00194 was what was levied. And so they subtract that from the 0.0025, and that's how we get the 0.002306. So we maximized that levy last year at the 0.002306. And then the capital levy we set at 0.2399 last year, and the GO bond payment levy was set at 0.0015. So what I'm proposing, and again, this proposal is going to change because
we don't have enough.
These proposed tax rates will change because they haven't. We don't have the basic school levy yet, and we don't have the. They haven't set the charter school tax rate levy yet. And so until they set those, I can't really set these. And so what I've done is just taken the charter school rate from last year and given you an idea of what that would be if we kept the tax rate exactly the same as it was last year. So you can see that at the top green column at the very bottom, it says 0.009567, and at the bottom it says 0.00967. And so what we're doing is saying, if we keep that rate the same, the overall tax rate, what would that mean? And so what I'm showing is to generate, so last year we lowered the tax rate for the GO bond to 0.0015, and that generated it was supposed to generate 3.3 million. It actually generated 3.68 million because we have, when we set the taxes, that's just for the taxes for this year. We also have redemptions that come into play, so people that haven't paid their taxes in previous years will come in and pay those as a redemption. And so that is, we get that money in addition to what we set the tax rate to receive. And then there's also fees in lieu of taxes that goes into that consideration. And so even though we set the tax rate to generate 3.3 million, we ended up generating 3.66. And so if we were to lower that rate from 0.0015 to 0.001353, that would still generate more than that, 3.567. And so if we raise the capital local levy from 0.002399 to 0.00244, then that would keep that tax rate exactly the same. And so I've just done the projections here because we don't have all of the information yet. I'll have that information for next week, and we can look at this in a little more detail if you want to. But that's basically the projected tax rates. And so you can see the revenue difference. So for the basic school levy, it would be $266,000. For the voted local levy, it would be $319,000. The board local levy right now is showing it the same because they haven't set that charter school rate yet. And then for the capital levy, that would be $588,000 over the certified tax rate. And so if we enacted this the way that I've got it laid out here, that would mean for somebody if you go to the bottom, projected impacts to taxpayers, that would mean an impact of $21 for a primary residence that's valued at $130,000. So it would be an additional $21,000 they would have to pay on their taxes. Or for a second home or commercial property, it would be $38.74. Then you can look through the rest of those values. So if you had a home that's valued at $500,000, that would be an extra $81 on your taxes this year, and $149 if you had a second home or a business is what that would mean. So any questions about the tax rates?
When do you expect to get the charter?
Well, they said it possibly could be. I didn't check today because we were gone.
By next week, though.
Yeah. Well,
you're hoping.
And so it might be in there. I mean, they may have gotten it in today. The last time I checked, it still wasn't in there. But they said yes, that they're expecting it any day now. And so it's possible it could have been in there. I just didn't have a chance to get it ready for this meeting. So, but I'll check on that tomorrow and see what they've got. So any questions about the budget or the tax rates?
Do they have a legal date they have to get that done by, the tax rate?
Well, you have to approve it by June 27th.
Well, they have to have a date?
I don't know if there's a legal date. Every year we fight this same issue. You know, they're saying, we need to get your tax rates. And I said, well, I need you to get the tax rates set. And so with the charter schools, I guess it's taking longer this year. I don't know all the reasons why, but they said that they still haven't got the charter school rates in.
So perhaps that will help next year for us to be able to be more accurate, because by the 30th, if we adopt on the 30th,
that's right,
we will have more accurate numbers, unless they just push it back 2 weeks.
Now, I don't think they will. I mean, they're trying hard to get it in there, but this is, I don't know. I don't know all the processes they have to go through to set the tax rates, but for whatever reason, it's they're delayed on the charter school tax rates, and so I wasn't able to get this in, those rates in for this presentation. So, any other questions?
Anne? So, unlike last year, where we raised the tax rate, but it lowered people's taxes, this would keep it. We would be technically raising the tax rate.
Last year, we lowered the tax rate.
Okay, but we still had to have a truth in taxation.
We had to have a truth in taxation. Because it did raise, well...
It raised the revenue.
It should have raised the revenue. But I'll have to go back and look to make sure. But because we lowered the GO bond, and they don't count that as part of what they look at as the tax rates, mm-hmm. So... And that's what we lowered drastically.
Will this do the same thing this year, do you think? Is there that potential or not?
Well, that depends on if we set the tax rates the same or if we want to lower the tax rates.
Okay.
So it would be helpful to me to know, if would you like to have the tax rate stay the same, or would you prefer to lower the tax rates a little bit? Because with the GO bond, with the increase in the assessed valuation, that has made it so if we kept the same GO bond payment at 0.0015, that would get us, probably $4.5 million, and we only need $3.8 million. And so we don't want to keep it the same. We'll want to lower that. And so it's up to you if we raise the capital rate slightly to offset that, or if we just lower that. And then we also need to determine how far we want to lower that. And so those are discussions that, until I know all the rates, you know, it's just academic talking about it. And so we probably should have a deeper conversation about that and what to do. And so if you'd like, I could bring, you know, several different options to the table, saying this is an option that would lower the tax rate slightly. This is an option that would keep the tax rate the same. So if you'd like, I can bring two or three options to say this is what this would do, this is the impact it would have, so you can look at those and review those. Is that something you'd like me to do?
And I think I'd like that rather than waiting for the board meeting where we're actually setting a tax rate. If you can do those worksheets and get them out to us, we won't be discussing it as a group because we're not in a meeting. But if we could have something that we receive, we can look through, we can call you, and maybe each of us talk about what a recommendation would be, what are you most comfortable with, then we could come to the next board meeting with some preferred options. The problem is, without that tax rate, it's almost impossible to have that discussion now.
Right. So I will check in the morning and see if that's in, and I'll get that to you as soon as they get the tax rates in, and we can move forward with that. Okay? Any other questions? All right.
It is definitely a moving target, that's for sure. So we look forward to having a discussion about that next week. And if you have any questions or comments that Jeff can help you with, just make sure you contact him before that so that we can have a very nice discussion next week. All right. Next is discussion to increase the undistributed reserve. Jeff.
Okay. So, as you know, the board has funds. It's called the Committed Undistributed Reserve Fund that's set aside so that you can put money into that. It's kind of a rainy day fund. It's a reserve fund that you can put money away that's locked away, and I can't spend it, and the superintendent can't spend that money without board approval. And so they limit those revenues to 5% of the total revenue. And so the balance in the committed undistributed reserve for Logan City School Districts is currently $1.85 million. which is 80% of that 5% legal limit. The current limit to the fund is $2.3 million. And so it's recommended, we talked about this before, and I had set aside $250,000 to put into that fund. In some discussion that we had, it was recommended that maybe we move that to $350,000 to get closer to the 5%. And so as I looked at that, we're actually taking that money from, it's not coming out of current year budgets, this is coming out of assigned unrestricted programs fund. And so I've set that, I've set $250,000 of that aside, but we have another $100,000 that we could use. And so the recommendation was that we transfer $350,000, which would get us to $2.2 million, or 96% of the legal limit. We don't want to get to 100% of the legal limit because if, you know, if our student population drops or other things, it may lower that budget amount, and it would lower the amount that we can carry, and so then we'd have to go in and
transfer
and change that because we can't do more than 5%. So I think 96% of that legal limit is probably a good place to be. And so basically the recommendation is that the board approve that transfer of $350,000 from the assigned unrestricted program funds to the committed undistributed reserve funds. And we want to do that in June so that it shows up in this fiscal year. Yeah. And so we're set to take action on that in the next meeting. I just wanted to explain what that is and what we're doing. So any questions about that?
I don't have a question, but I have a comment, which is I'm so happy to be finally back at that state that we've recovered from the financial impact that we've had over the last couple of years, and now we can build that reserve back up. And I'm thankful that we've had it in order to use it, because sometimes we've had to use that in emergencies, and we want to have that there. So it's nice to be able to build that back up so that we do have something in our savings account for an emergency if needed, or programs or whatever the board. I wish it was higher, but that's not my choice, so I'm grateful to have it as close to the legal limit as possible. Any other questions or comments to Jeff about that?
What happens if we do exceed the legal limit? Charges a penalty or anything, or do we just get a caution?
Well, I think our auditors would say, hey, you're above the legal limit. They check us every year, and they would say, you're above the legal limit. You need to
And 5 years ago they said, ooh, you really need to increase that fund. Yeah. And so we have been increasing that fund. In some ways it would be really nice to be, but 96% to me is a really good place to be.
Yeah.
Especially in a situation where we do have fluctuating enrollment, 96% seems fairly safe.
All right, any other questions or comments to Jeff about that? All right, that will be an action item on next week's agenda as well. And now we're on discussion on the PTIF account management authorization. Jeff.
Okay. So this is just kind of a formality. It's something that's required by the Office of the Utah State Auditor or State Treasurer. And so they're rolling out a new online PTIF account management platform. The PTIF is the Public Treasurer's Investment Fund. And so, and that's where we keep most of our money. And we're actually starting to get a little bit of interest off of that. I mean, we've always gotten interest off of it, but it, for the last few years, I mean, it dropped to like 38%, 0.38%. I mean, it was just less than 1%. I think the latest that I looked at, it's back up to like 2.3%. So that's exciting to start to see, because we do earn interest off of that, and that's money that we can use for our budget. And so those numbers are starting to go up. But that's where, you know, any public entity can keep their funds. It's very safe. They invest it very safely. And so it's guaranteed basically to be in there when we need it. And so we deposit our money into the PTIF, and then we pull it out. So as we need to run payroll or different things, we pull it out in small amounts so we can keep as much as we can in there earning interest. And so anyway, but they're changing the account management platform, which means that you need to enable authorized individuals to manage the funds within that account. And so basically on the form that's included there, Adam and I have always been on the, have always been able to go in and do that. We're the two designated from the district that have been able to do that. But it just needs, because they're changing it, they need another resolution showing that that's approved. And that resolution is the paper that's there, the form that's been filled out. So Christy will have to get that notarized and sign that, authorizing Adam and I to make the changes within the PTIF, within their new account management software that they're putting together. And so they're requiring everybody to do that no later than June 30th. If we don't have it done by June 30th, we won't be able to make changes until it's done. And so we want to make sure that it's done by June 30th. And so every county and city and school district is having to do this. And so it's just, it's kind of a formality that we need to do.
All right. Any questions about that?
Interest rate is what, 2.5% on that bond?
I think it was 2.3 the last I checked. Okay. Yeah. So we're starting,
that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Anything's better than nothing.
Yeah. And see, when we issue the bonds, then we'll also put that in. And so that kind of bumps up our revenue from interest, because we'll take that bond issue, put in the PTIF, and earn interest on it until we've paid it out to the contractors. So it is a source of revenue sometimes.
I remember days when we had great interest in this account. But, you know, hopefully that's what we're going to do. But then we have to do the higher bonds, too. One thing I would like to request is when I receive this, and I would like our agenda to explain what, you know, the agenda item. The agenda item that was in the newspaper said that, the PTIF. Could we spell that out so that as we make changes to that, you know, discussion on PTIF account management authorization, I had to really look to see what that was, because in your paper and others, it didn't describe it till we went into the state treasurer's site. So for transparency for our public, I'd like them to know what PTIF is.
Okay. Yeah, that's a great suggestion, Ann. I hadn't thought about it. We just refer to it as PTIF. So
I know you do. We need it. But for transparency, we need to do that.
We don't think about layman. I mean, even in the certified document, all it refers to it as the PTIF account. PTIF account. So
it's underlined in one place. And I looked. So I think if we could do that, so, you know.
Can you make that change for June 19th meeting? Okay. We'll do that. And I'll try to look for that in the future, you know.
Well, and if we can say it, you know, in the headline, and then we can refer, and then PTIF, then we can do it as much as we want. But truly, if we're going to inform people what we do, we need to, it's nice if we could spell it out once.
Thank you. That's a great suggestion.
Any other comments or questions concerning that? All right, board members, that will appear on our next week agenda as an action item. So if you have any questions that come to mind in the meantime, make sure you direct those to Jeff so that he can answer your questions fully. All right, and last thing on our agenda is the discussion on our annual board meeting schedule. We've gone through the schedule and had Stacy, of course, has been helping us with that. If you'll notice on the agenda or the schedule that we have added Edith Bowen school visit, in conjunction with Hillcrest, we want to make sure that we're visiting the charters that associate with our district. So we will be visiting Edith Bowen. We thought that would coincide nicely with Hillcrest because they're kind of both in the same area. One would start at 10 and the other one would start at 12:30. And then we tried to bump up the visits just because we did have a little glitch this year with the Logan High visit that kind of bumped the school visits a little later into the year, so we kind of made them a little heavy at the beginning of the year and anticipating that we may need to adjust the schedule as needed at the end of the year. And according to what Jeff would say, the information you just gave us about the budget information, I would propose that we change the June 18th meeting to June 25th. So we would still be in, it would be consistent with our board meetings
Any chance we could do the 27th?
What date is that?
It's a Thursday.
Yeah.
We know you can do it, Jeff. We believe in you. The 25th is a perfect day.
Hey, it's probably more days.
It's probably more consistent.
Well, the reason I say that is the 25th is when we run the final payroll, but I can talk to our staff. We still may be able to at least, you know, we may be able to run those payroll. We run the June payroll, and then we have the teachers' payrolls for July and August that we run. Okay. Typically, we run those after, but I think we may be able to run those prior to that. So, yeah, let's set it for the 25th, and I'll talk to them and see what we'll do.
I think that's easier for our public, on a budget hearing when it's critical. We probably want to keep it consistent on the same day.
Well, thank you for giving me additional week.
The question that I did have for Superintendent is, yesterday we talked about dividing the agenda up on months based on, does that coincide with our school visits?
That had not been taken into account at that point. I hadn't reviewed that with Stacy, so I don't see that would cause a problem with that, because the agenda that we talked about was focused just on the agenda for this meeting.
Right.
So I don't think it would cause a problem with the school visits.
Okay. All right. I didn't know if we wanted to do the school visit the same month we discussed the school.
We can do that, but that would
just
that
change
would
it. Okay. The order of the.
Okay.
Something we want
to
do.
I'm going to ask a strange question. If we went next year, I know we like having our board workshop 10th and 11th next year. I'm in 19. Would it be a more meaningful discussion if we had this budget meeting on the 18th of June? I know that would be three Tuesdays in a row, but it seems really to look at this without having numbers is rather, you know, the certified tax rate. That's maybe something we want to think about, and whether that's something that it would be three Tuesdays in a row. But it would be.
Do you want to just do it on the 18th and 25th?
Well, we'd need to change our workshop maybe, but 17th and 18th. I'm just thinking, the more accurate those budget projections are, the more able we could sit down in the afternoon on the Tuesday, or afternoon on the Monday, if we had tax rates, and look at lots of scenarios. We wouldn't adopt any of them, and then, you know, really could have a good discussion with accurate numbers on the 18th that we could not have on the 11th, because it's not going to change next year.
Right.
Their numbers aren't going to come any quicker than they are this year. We know that.
Probably not.
Well, I'd rather move the board workshop and have three board
meetings. Right. Well, and that's what we could do if we could do the 17th and
18th. I love hanging out with all of you, but.
But if we could go to the 17th and 18th, that would give us a couple of weeks off of school board from after the end of May. And then we could have that workshop. We could have accurate numbers for Jeff, which this whole discussion is so nebulous.
Yeah, it really is.
And it's impossible to choose, you know, to even look at scenarios. So if we could do that, I think it would help everybody.
I do too. Great suggestion.
All right, so we would have our board workshop on the 17th and 18th, and then our budget hearing on the 25th, correct? All right. And the other suggestion I made earlier to Stacy is that I believe at the bottom of the schedule we need to add a clause that just says, and I'll get Stacy the exact wording, but something to the effect that emergency and special meetings may be added based on Utah law, just so that people are aware that occasionally we do have situations that we do have to add emergency and special meetings.
Or change a meeting because of some big thing that comes up.
So if that's okay, we will add that, and it will just be, I don't know, on the bottom somewhere, so that people are aware that that could potentially happen as well. Any other questions or comments about the schedule? We'll visit all of the schools, including Riverside, the two charters, youth in custody.
You're doing VTech?
And we're doing Bridgerland. We were going to do Bridgerland. We haven't added that into the schedule, but we may have to add that into the schedule somewhere.
You could even do it late May or in June because they're in session.
I wonder if we could do that
anytime.
Part of our workshop.
They would love to have us come and use their boardroom, and some of those things we could do. Bridgerland functions during the summer. So it's not like the rest of the schools where we want to go where they're up and functioning. Not as many students are there right now, but because graduation was last week. But
so maybe we should
add still students.
Maybe we should add Bridgerland as part of the workshop on the 18th and 19th. Maybe the morning of the second day or something, or the morning of the first day. Maybe go over there and spend a couple hours.
Or spend the day. We could do that also.
Yeah.
It would legally be okay, because it's within our school district boundaries.
Yeah. All right, so we'll add that to the agenda as well. All right, any other questions or comments concerning the proposed board meeting schedule for next year? Okay, if you have any questions, just please let me know or Stacy know or superintendent, and we can make those modifications as needed. All right, with that, do any of you have any further issues or items that we need to discuss tonight? All right. Well, thank you very much for coming, Superintendent. I'm sorry. Anything else for you? You were quiet all night. I don't think you said one thing. Oh, maybe you did. Yeah. All right. With that, we will adjourn our meeting tonight at 5:57. Thank you all for coming.
Okay.
She told us we couldn't ask any questions, but we did anyway.
Sorry,
it wasn't a half an hour.
With trepidation, but they did. It's okay.
I tried to make it short, but
I was really hoping for an hour, so you're 3 minutes early. I just told you a half an hour because I knew you would ask questions.
Sorry, I tried to talk fast. Took 1 minute off.
Thank you for
I do have a question about my head, though. Oh. I'm just talking about the rate. Okay. So this shows a lower rate, and yet you're saying this adds to their property today.
My sister-in-law's
out. Can buy Greg now.
I'm really confused.
Because
you're here, like,
it
depends on
the
if you run or if you
see a rattlesnake. If you see a rattlesnake, it's a lot faster than if you don't see one.
What do you think?
Because, like, you're like,
how long would you think it would take to get up to the